WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen's jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
This is Ben Davis. We're coming.
Welcome to Inside Ben Davis Football. You know, I have to actually write down now how many years it's been. The 34th season of Inside Ben Davis Football on Indy's Giant 90.9. This one kind of came together last minute, so we're going to go ahead and just call it the first episode of the season. I'm John Easter. I probably won't be the host of the show each week. We usually have a student do this, but we always have our head football coach of the Ben Davis Giants here. Makes sense that we would have the head football coach on Inside Ben Davis Football. Coach Russ Mann is with us. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing well. Doing well. We just came off the field. Had a co-captain's workout this morning, and guys did a lot better today than they did yesterday. You said 34 years of the show.
34th season.
And this Friday is your what birthday?
50th.
And I hope everybody that hears this episode makes sure they blow up your phone on Friday. And the best part of that is I hear that at least 12, 13 more years of you hosting Inside Ben Davis Football.
Well, once again, I'm not the host. Usually, it's usually a student.
You seem to have skills that keep us all on point on Tuesday nights.
I will say I've done this a few times.
Yes. And
just a couple.
I think the kids, the students that you've had the last 2 years, have done a great job. They get better throughout the year. They're all in. I know some of them don't attend Ben Davis High School, but they are Ben Davis number one. They are They are all in on Ben Davis football. They love going into their high schools with their Ben Davis gear on. Oh, yeah.
A couple of years ago, I think we were talking – we have another guest here, too. I'll introduce him in just a second. But you were talking about that. We had a student that went to another school – in the sectional, and you know, when Ben Davis defeated that school, maybe on a last second.
Oh, there have been two emotional games the last 2 years between those programs. Yes.
Yeah. I would say that he was probably happier.
I think it might have been one of those better days of high school. You got to walk in there as if you were a quarterback or a Mike linebacker. Good for him. He did a great job.
That's cool because, you know, that's what we do. We broadcast the Ben Davis games, even though our students don't always come from Ben Davis here at WBDG. We're also joined by offensive coordinator Tyler Campbell. Welcome. Making your debut here on Inside Ben Davis Football.
Yeah, glad to be with you guys. This is a high-level production in here. It's the first time in the room, but this is a pretty sweet setup.
Well, this is professional.
Yeah, this is awesome.
We are so lucky, really, over the years to have this support from the MSD of Wayne Township and everything that they give us. So, you know, certainly we appreciate what they do and couldn't do it without their support. So, but also thanks to our underwriter, Chuck Bear of EXP Realty is back again to support the show this year. So thanks once again to Chuck Bear. I don't have the applause thing on my hotkeys here, but I would play the applause sound effects. So we'll just do it live for Mr. Bear, a Ben Davis alum, from EXP Realty, and he has supported the show for several years back again this season. Okay, so just a little bit of history of Inside Ben Davis Football in case you're just joining it for the first time. This show, once again, has been 34 years. This is the 34th season, but actually it goes back further. I'm just not sure how far because before that it was the Coach Dick Dullahan show. Coach D, great delegator, would, and this is when I was a student here that this happened, so I know that it happened. You'd have the Coach Dick Dullahan show, and he would send Coach Parika or Coach Taphorn or something like that. And we're like, Well, you know, it's the Dick Dullahan show. Today it is Coach Terry Taphorn with us today. Coach, how are you? Know, and so Coach is like, well, just rename the show. So so we renamed it Inside Ben Davis Football in 1992. And, man, we just added to it. And certainly lots of fun times, state championships, all those things over the seasons of Inside Ben Davis Football. Last, I think, 10 or so are available on our podcast site if you want to go back and listen to us talk to Mike Kirshner and Jason Simmons and now Coach Russ Mann. And that's kind of the cool thing. I was explaining our intro is kind of like a time capsule of Ben Davis Football. One of our students put that together probably like 18 years ago now. So we're running out of space, so you can't go anywhere.
Oh, you don't need to add anything else. You snuck one in from me on one of the first episodes here. I think that's a better version than a pregame speech.
I think that was from the
IMG.
Yeah, that was from that.
Well, I think that was a safe way of making sure we didn't poke the bear either. Say, like, oh, we're going to win this. Well, there's like a we felt pretty good going that week. That was a safe little we're coming. That was about the most we were going to do on the radio. We weren't going to have a shock the world or make any predictions, and it would upset the travelers coming from IMG that week.
I don't think they need any extra motivation.
Because as Coach says, I mean, he has experience in several other places here in the MIC,
mm-hmm.
that other MIC coaches, other opposing coaches listen to this show.
I've been a long time listening.
To see if they can glean some intelligence out of the show. So
your role in Indiana high school football is very impactful. You stepped up for our program, and your role on Gridiron Digest, you represent Indiana football really well. This is three schools ago in North Central. I knew I got when we met each other in the hallway, I said BD Giant
93,
and you put some a campaign out there for Roy Zachary, and I figured it actually came better from you to represent our program on the Gridiron Digest. Me, it may have upset other coaches or other programs. It would have been my first post ever on there, and I don't know how to make an account. Like, I don't even have a TikTok. I might not have a full grade yet, but I don't have any of those skills yet. So,
a little story and aside about my Gridiron Digest time. It was, I can't remember, I think it was maybe 15 years ago, we'll say.
You posted 14 a playbook,
years
right?
ago. No, no, but I may have told you the story off air. I posted, I think Ben Davis had played Penn or one of those teams, and used to be you played whoever first game was usually, I think it was Cathedral for a long time, then it was Perry Meridian, then Tech, and, you know, the South Bend. St. Joe. I mean, they've played different teams to open over time, but then it was Penn was the second game, and the Penn game was always brutal. It was always like
two best teams in the state.
It was always like 7-7 with 5 minutes to go in the fourth. I mean, it was just, you know, it didn't matter how good the offenses, defenses were. But one year, I think Coach Kirshner was coaching, went up to Penn, and it was just brutal. I mean, I think it rained, and a player, I think, broke his leg in the game, and, you know, quarterback got injured. I mean, it was just a brutal game. And then I think during that week, like, the backup quarterback had, like, the flu something. Well, I put something on the Gridiron Digest about that, and that was the first time Ben Davis had been shut out. I mean, they went over to Warren and lost, like, 36-0. I don't know if you were –
I was not there yet.
They lost 36-0, something like that. So Monday, guess who was in my office? It was not Mike Kirshner.
The post upset some people?
No, it was Kevin Vanderbush.
Oh, yeah.
He was in my office on Monday. Hey, Mr. Easter, I saw your post on the Gridiron Digest about our quarterback situation.
He doesn't follow anybody.
He knows. You got to know by now. He knows everything.
Absolutely.
He knows everything. He, you know, but he was pointing out the fact that I put that on there. Somebody picked it up. They could have planned, knew that he had a very inexperienced quarterback. They didn't want that information, blah, blah, blah. So since then, I've been very careful what I post and very selective. of what I post. And it was also a good reminder to tell our students as well here doing this show that they always know more.
That we have a story to share from last year.
Sounds like we need to use this to plant some false information to help us gain an edge.
Feel free.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's
we're going to be in
doing.
The I formation next year. Yeah. And,
yep. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I formation, ready. Double tight.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Three yards and a cloud
of
dust.
That's right. That's right.
I came in here before the Center Grove game, and it was the Tuesday practice when we knew as a program that our starting quarterback was going to miss his first start with his little tingle. We wanted to make sure we prepped. It would be better for him not to probably try to force or play through this. And there was another gentleman here, a former student of yours, who was going to be calling the game. And
Kurt Darling.
Right, yep. After the first segment, the students asked, like, "Hey, Coach, how's Isaiah's elbow?" And I was like, "Oh, it's fine. And as soon as I got in the car on the way home, I was like, "Coach Campbell, welcome to Indianapolis.
DEFCON 5, let's figure this out.
I'm just going to let you know, it's Tuesday. This news will creep to Center Grove by Friday." He's like, "You think so?" Like I said, he had two former players of his north of Kokomo call him on Friday. He's like, "Coach, we're coming to your game, and we hear your quarterback's out." I was like, "If it got north of Kokomo, I'm pretty sure it's down to Center Grove." Yeah. So the previous students that host this show, they become little weapons. They know all the information.
Well, and so you have to explain to them. I mean, if they're going to be in sports media, it's the same everywhere. Matt Taylor does the Colts games. He always knows more than he can probably reveal. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's a little bit different in the NFL because Adam Schefter knows everything. And, they always know everything. Or Ian Rappaport, those guys know everything there is to know about everything in the NFL because people talk. But when it comes to high school and things like that, we always know more. As a teacher, I kind of sometimes always know more about things that are going on. So it's important to always remember that. So I always keep that in mind. But I appreciate you mentioning that. I do enjoy posting on there sometimes. I actually started posting on there because there was a poster on there who's no longer there who was just after Coach Kirshner. I mean, just after Coach Kirshner, and that's why I started posting on there.
And it's you give compliments and you to other programs, and you're fair to everybody. You are consistent with it. You're not emotional. There are some people who do get some keyboard muscles and ready to have they seem to bash certain programs. It's cute, good for them. But you are a great representative for Indianapolis football. And we were talking about that Penn and Ben Davis game. Those were the two alpha programs in the 90s. And those two, there's a little bit more to that I've learned. I grew up by Penn, and I couldn't wait to see what that score was on Friday nights. And I didn't know that the host school would actually provide a meal. Like the teams would actually eat dinner, spaghetti meal, pizzas, and then the opposing team would get on the bus and go back home. Those are two coaches that kind of went toe to toe with Bobby Knight and kind of put football on the map here in Indiana. At that time, this Hoosier State was still in 49 other states, but there's another head coach of that building in the fall that could lead men too. It's okay. So those guys did a great job of catching us up to other states and catching us up to Bobby Knight too. We appreciate it. So they did a great job. They had a great relationship. And Coach Giesman had he's a Northern Indiana coach that knew if he was going to win state championships at that 5A level, he needed to play an Indianapolis school in the regular season. They had the four South Bend schools. They did have a Mishawaka, but they had an 84-game winning streak. 1996, snapped by the Giants. Coach Zach was
right
on that team. 24-0 on ESPN back in the day. That would I don't remember those until the Eric Gordon.
I say when I was
Mike
in high
Conley,
school, they were starting to televise Greg those Gordon. Types of games. But
I didn't have any high school games in ESPN at Concord.
Say back in the 90s, that's kind of old school.
Yeah.
They snapped the 84-game winning streak. I'm not even sure he was born by that.
96? Hey, you're close, but not quite.
Well, you played at Concord. You played in the state championship in 99, right?
And actually,
I was there.
Of 98. Yeah, but
as a teacher.
Cathedral won both the 98 and 99 state championship. Yeah. But we actually won sectional championship on Free Field of Penn, mm-hmm. Which was the first sectional championship in 15 years, but we played Elkhart Memorial, and they played at Elkhart Central. So that was my only game at Penn besides baseball.
Freed Field is a cool place.
I'm 1-0 there.
and we've already gone through the first segment. But the cool thing about Freed Field, our intro, that game, that's a Ben Davis Penn game. That's the intro of Inside Ben Davis Football.
Yeah.
2003, I think. I'll play the clip when we come back. It's a pretty cool clip. All right, well, that's the first segment of Inside Ben Davis Football. We haven't gotten anything yet, but hey, that's all right.
We'll have a three-segment show.
It's like the fourth quarter, two-minute drill. We're running out the clock. So we'll be right back. We'll talk a little Ben Davis Giants football. And when we return on Inside Ben Davis Football.
Thanks to Chuck Baer of eXp Realty for his support. Chuck Baer with eXp Realty offers services such as an analysis of your home's value, a marketing plan, and knowledge of the market. Serving central Indiana counties, Chuck Baer of eXp Realty can be reached at 317-698-3339, online at exprealty.com. Thank you again to Chuck Baer of eXp Realty for his support.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
And as they say, Brandon, it all comes down to this.
It does. Giants on there. He's on the far sideline. Tom Allen's jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play, full house. Corey Nardi under center. It's coming down to this. Who's going to go home 2-0? Corey Nardi! No signal yet. Giants are jumping up and down. No signal. And we wait. We wait. It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Davis! Touchdown, Ben Davis! The Giants win! Wow! Dramatic fashion.
Awesome. Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football and Indy's Giant 90.9. I promised I was going to play that little cut from 2003. That was Ben Davis at Penn in 2003. I didn't go up to Penn. I was here in town. I had a really experienced radio crew that year. And that was Brandon Earhart and Rob Wook on the call. Brandon was the play-by-play. And actually, Brandon's doing great things. And, you know, it's kind of amazing because, like, that was 2003, and now that is, what, 22 years ago? But we still have the call, and one of the best calls we've ever had, I think, that we have at least on tape.
You have a few on podcasts and saved and clips like that. Like, that one got me. I didn't realize game on the line and a delayed touchdown signal.
Fourth down, I think. Man, I think they ended up winning 28-27, 27-26. It was a one-point win. But the call came from there was a call, and it was actually Mike Kirshner's son, John, that convinced him to go quarterback sneak. He's like, Coach, we'll get it, because he was on the offensive line.
Yep.
So, Coach Dolan was, okay. So they did it, and there you go. I also do coach impressions for free.
Oh, they're good.
I haven't figured out a coach man one yet.
I try my best.
Just change topics every 5 seconds.
Is that it?
Best of luck. Speak as quickly. I'm not a big cliche person. Not too pouty. I'll come in here the same after every. At one point last year, we walked in here at 1-5 and going on the road versus Carmel, and it was, no emotion. So like our players had a test with the Indy Star last year to begin the season, and they had to do coaching impressions. They're all like, oh, man, I don't know how to do one. Coach, but good luck. Good luck. You got to do a little Jim Carrey almost. You got to really get
Jim
after
Carrey.
It.
That's good. Yeah. That's a good good way to compare it. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about last season since you brought it up. Last season ended up 5-6 on the year. Started 1-5, as you mentioned, so kind of had a great finish. Won 4 of your last 5. Unfortunately, the one you lose was to the eventual state champion, the Brownsburg Bulldogs. 38-35. First half was great. Five stars, definitely recommend. Second half was not. And certainly, I mean, we could sit here and just kind of talk about that. But that game happened. What's happened since then? That's always a good thing to kind of start off with.
That's a,
what has occurred since the Giants walked off the field?
Well, we buzzed,
by the way,
right?
I think
through
I forgot
illegal
WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. Sorry, you were saying.
You know, these segments are usually about 15 minutes, and we buzzed through that first one.
Yeah.
To go from that November 8th game and that that loss 38-35 to now, we could probably pick up here in June and how our guys have handled the summer. We have a young team. Coach Campbell has got some, he's got, I think, 19 quarterbacks in his room right now.
Like, we've got a lot of yellow jerseys on the practice field. It's great. It's great.
He's still putting these guys in Lance Armstrong jerseys when we go and scrimmage somebody. 2 years ago, I'm like, Thomas, Isaiah, I'm not doing that to you guys. I'm going to let them tee off on you. Now we have a younger quarterback room.
That's not built like Tommy. Right. You know?
Tommy was a linebacker that played quarterback. Tell him that all the time just because he was fast, but he had zero wiggle. Can you juke him? Can you get around that linebacker?
Don't need to learn that skill when you just run him over, Coach.
Oh, I didn't have that move. Mine was a juke elusiveness, please. But
it does benefit when you have quarterbacks that are built like, you know, Isaiah or Tommy or Kyle Kastner, those big guys. But I mean, that's where you probably start the discussion. I know there's more to football than just quarterbacking, but when you have both your quarterbacks from last year that played a significant amount gone, where do you go from there, Coach?
No knock to either of those two guys. Both of them are going to do a lot of great things. We feel really good about our quarterback room right now. Like Coach Mann said, a lot of youth, which can be frustrating, but it's also a lot of fun because you get to see them. I mean, they get better daily, you know. A lot of athleticism in that room. Two very different skill sets with the two that have taken the bulk of the reps, but both skill sets that I think we have a lot of pieces around them that, you know, we can kind of flourish as an offense hopefully sooner than later.
We're talking to Coach Russ Mann and Coach Tyler Campbell here on Inside Ben Davis Football here on Indy's Giant 90.9. And not only did you lose the quarterback room that kind of gave you most of the play last year, but lost rushers, receivers. I mean, you go right down the list.
I don't think Elijah Price is a fifth
year.
Oh, by the
way, you lost Mr. Football.
A lot of production out of him, Mark Zachary.
10 of 11 starters.
Eight interceptions from him.
12 touchdowns, 60, a lot of plays.
62 tackles, and not to mention all the stuff he did on offense. So
if his dad were here right now, that he would probably tell you that was the first year he performed a physical tackle. He first started for 4 years, but he did a great job with his solo tackles. 12 touchdowns. Receptions, the third most yards in Ben Davis history, a single season. And unfortunately, with our loss to Brownsburg, he needed one more game to probably get Scott McGowan's record of total receiving yards, career receiving yards. Elijah finished it, I believe it was fourth. And once he cracked fourth at all time, leading rusher, and even his mom was like, well, that's all he's going to get there because Jesse Avad, some of those other guys, their numbers were too far from the catch.
They're way out there.
That's a lot of production. And with AP, I believe he cracked the starting lineup after we played the Giants back in my last year at Warren. He came up as a freshman and had enough yards to lead the Giants in rushing that year. If you describe it as the only running back in Ben Davis history to lead all 4 years, his freshman year might have been 333 yards, but the next three were about 1,000 each time. So, he did lead the Giants in rushing his freshman year. So he led the Giants in rushing all 4 years, and Mark Zachary was a four-year starter. And eight interceptions, two block punts, 12 interceptions, caught the ball, just sit back and enjoy the show.
What do you have just in the sectional games? He had, six receiving touchdowns or six, seven, something like that?
He had two crude, big fourth down interceptions versus Pike. And I remember Coach Brevard shared after where he's like, I think he just solidified Mr. Football.
Fourth in the ball game, and he made a play that I don't think many kids could make.
The Pike chain crew, when we took the lead late in the game, he's like, boy, that number four. He's like, what else can he do? I said, if he really wants to complete this game, he could finish one more interception. And he jumped around. It was actually
there were four plays in that game that all four plays were catches by Mark Zachary, but we only had the ball on two of them, and they were four consecutive plays. It was pretty impressive, yeah.
And then backed it up with four touchdown receptions with four different routes of the Brownsburg game, and he went down to catch one at an interception in the third quarter, and everybody knows that if that one is completed. Now, I do think highly of the Oscar Fry kid, and if he would have made that solo tackle, he would put that on his highlight film, but that would have been the only one that would have stopped Mark, and it would have been probably enough to survive that game. How we go from there, the Wildcats were pretty dangerous last year, so it would have been different than game one, but we knew that we had a young team. We had a lot of first-year starters. Now, Coach Campbell said earlier that we lost 10 of 11 starters on offense, but many of those guys, that was their first time starting. You know, like AP and Mark were veterans, Isaiah White, KG, but they brought on all the teammates like, hey, guys, yeah, like, when you were playing as freshmen, we were up here. Welcome to join us. We did lose a lot of first-year starters, but they were starting to figure out their Friday night role. We were one of the top five teams going in that playoffs.
Well, and you know, that's kind of the thing. People look at the schedule. It's brutal.
Love
as
it.
Usual. Start off with Cathedral over at Butler this year, I believe. And then the home games, Avon, Pike.
Oh, we were close to a special one. Avon, we were all in talks this winter. They were going to take on Moeller. We were going to take on a team from Tennessee. Like Coach Gibson was like, I'm in. Let's do it. Like so we'll see if we can get creative here in the future.
Well, you got Center Grove, Warren. I mean, it's Carmel, Lawrence Central, Lawrence North. I mean, you know, the usual suspects. North Central should be much improved this year. Then your sectional, you know, who's in the sectional. So the fact that you're young is not going to, at least from your opponent's perspective, nobody's going to cry for Ben Davis football. So how do you get these youngsters ready to go against some of the best? I mean, you know, you talk the schedule and then you add in the sectional, any of those teams could win a state title.
If your answer is anything but the Summer World Tour, I'm done. I'm done on the show.
I explained it to Coach Henry and coordinators, Coach Sumner and Coach Campbell, 2 years ago. After our loss to IMG, I explained to our coaching staff, we can't lose again. Not that it would have, we would have completely self-destructed, but that senior class, they would not have been the best version of themselves going into the playoffs 4-5. We needed to rip off five wins in a row right after that IMG loss. A loss to, if we would have slipped up to Warren, and we won by three. If we would have slipped up to LC, Tommy went out, and Isaiah came in, and we won by three there. If we would have had another one, they were such high IQ, they're all in kids, that they would have started like, are we doing the right thing? They would have started almost pressing and panicking. We scrimmaged very few teams. So it was like, just keep the, keep these guys tame. This year, we did it within the rules. You could have up to five competitive scrimmages. So we have a call it the summer scrimmage tour. We are going to take on our 12th team this week. We have two different times. There were three teams. One was East St. Louis, Snyder, and that was at an HEC team, Westfield. We've taken on two others. So that's inside info that our opponents could get. Like, I'm not going to be texting all those coaches trying to get that film. And if you're going to get some from our summer film, so be it. I bet these the coordinators have different plans when it comes to those games. How many teams? 12?
So I thought it was 14. It might be 12. It's more than I've ever seen in a summer. I'll say that.
We had an 11-game schedule last year, but we got a season in the summer. The youthfulness of our program and our kids have started to feel pretty good after they had a good week last week, and I think somebody complimented them, somebody must have told them they did well.
Dadgum.
Now they did respond the last hour. Coach Henry gave them a compliment that was very high of how well they handled the co-captain's workout, but not so good yesterday. They were I believe probably patting themselves on the back, maybe people started complimenting, telling them, you guys are ready. They showed up a little unfocused and just a little chatty, a little, you do that to anybody on our opponents. Our sectional, Coach Gibson and Avon, Coach Bavard, Pike, this team Brownsburg that has nine offensive starters coming back.
Scrimmage included with Westfield.
Right. Westfield, the Irish are going to be – you underestimate one of our opponents, and you just said something about North Central. They have a coach Kofor, and he brought in an offensive coordinator, Coach Eddie Tucker. He has he dialed up points for years for Coach Mallory with McCulley at quarterback and Omar Cooper. He's a high-level mid coordinator. So, yeah, that week nine, that game is actually the last day before fall break. We're going to be on fall break this year. And so already prepping our guys for Halloween. Mm-hmm. What's the worst-case scenario is being on the road on Halloween. The Brownsburg student section was – the Avon and Pike will draw each other to – we'll be at Brownsburg Halloween.
There will be costumes. You know that much.
It was loud last year. Take away the track and make it a home game for them.
That was loud, wasn't it? I thought we
just
were
a little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
But when you look at this this schedule, you know, we just talked about that. What's a reasonable expectation, do you think, for this team early on? I know that they will improve as the season goes on. And you hope that by the time you get to October, you're playing top five football like last year. But what do you think's a reasonable expectation? If you're, let's say you're Joe Giant or Jane Giant fan out there, and you know they follow, they may not follow every, they don't listen to WBDG every week. I don't know why they would do that, but you know they should listen every week. They should listen to the show every week, but not everybody does. So. What's a reasonable expectation, do you think, early on for this team?
I pointed at Coach Campbell for anybody that didn't see that.
I was going to say, the former head coach in me says go 1-0, and the next opponent we play is Westfield in the scrimmage and Cathedral week one. As the offensive coordinator, I'll talk more to the offense. I think we're really young, really inexperienced, so I think it's fair to expect some mistakes early.
Growing pains.
Right, course, yeah. But I think we're dynamic enough and athletic enough and talented enough that for every mistake we make, we should make two or three plays, right? And if you're doing that, you know, don't compound mistakes and make plays when the ball comes your way and when the play comes your way. You know, I think anything short of high performance every Friday night at Ben Davis is unacceptable. So I would think that's the expectation. And just get through the growing pains as they come and by October 31st, be ready to go, you know, win championships.
You always have that scoreboard down there. Just
love it.
Right in front
love
of you,
it.
With all 10 state championships on it.
You know, Bobby Knight told Coach Steve Alford, you know, it's difficult to go out to practice every day staring at those banners at UCLA. Like, need to put that next year up there. That's not I have a gap there. But I defer to Coach Campbell on that one because if you would have asked me last year going into the season, I told our coaching staff, I said, you know, we're looking at a 7-2 season, probably 6-3. Most of our staff left, and I whispered to Sumner and said, by 7-2, I meant 5-4, but we're going to win this thing at the end of the year. And that wouldn't be something that would hype up a lot of the fan base. I don't think a lot of Colts fans are too excited about the training camp starting this year. Like, guys, I'm pretty sure they're professionals. They're going to be ready by game one. But it doesn't seem as much buzz as a few years ago with the Colts and training camp getting started. But the team that we have and what's coming is they're fun. Get ready. I can't tell you exactly. I usually could kind of be at a ballpark. For example, when I left the night before that Brownsburg game, my wife says good luck. I said, thanks. I said, we're going to go up 21. She's like, 21? I said, yeah, maybe 28. But it gets I can't kind of see how this is. It's going to get hairy. Like, it's going to be. We're going to hold on tight then. Coach Campbell, the office came out. Had some.
We had 12 trick and shot plays to call. We called them all in the first half, and most of them hit. And ran out of answers in the second half. But
let me paint a picture for you. When I walked in at halftime of that game, we're up a 35-7, and I wanted to just pull Coach Campbell aside, and be like, "Hey, look, they have the ball first, and I know everybody thinks they see 35-7. One more score, we're gonna have a running clock. Let me paint a picture for you. We haven't really stopped them yet. they fumbled on the one. They have they turn over downs twice. They had a perimeter bubble pass that went 14 yards. That if it we haven't defended it, they blocked it up so well against us. There isn't a defensive coordinator in the MIC or HEC that wouldn't have lost their mind. And the first kid to hit the receiver, he fumbles it, gives it to us. Had not really been stopped yet. They scored their final drive, and they had the ball first. So, like, anybody that was like, oh, we could run and clock them, like, you're cute. Like, we could stop them here. But I walk into halftime, and the very first gentleman is our former offensive coordinator, and he had just led the Northwestern to a positive season. He's Kokomo's new head coach. Caleb Small is right there. He had been the offensive coordinator of the 10th championship. Next to him is the offensive coordinator of the 8th and 9th championship, and right Ferris. Next to Coach Campbell is Coach Dullahan, who led all 10 championships are right there. And I felt like a Buddy Ryan, Mike Dickens situation, like whatever you got, you make it quick. Well, the offense coaches are talking here. And, all I said was like, we need one more score. And, yeah, we know, we understand. Like, I would like to tell you the 35 is safe, but that just is if John Hart's going to go for two when they get the 34. Like that was a high-powered offense. JT Whitaker, the new head coach of Warren Central, he has sustained success with multiple quarterbacks. He had his own son 2 years ago. He had a kid that stepped in as a senior the year we won state. He might be the first offense coordinator in history to win a championship with two quarterbacks. Him and Brandon Johnson did a nice job with two quarterbacks, keeping them both happy, not developing tendencies, and managed that. Oscar becoming the second sophomore quarterback to win the state championship, joining the list with Taven Jackson. And he deserves to be a coach for sure, but that offense was high-powered. And they years, they're one of the top offices in this area.
Just had a walkthrough. Dr. Butts is in the house here.
Well, he usually he's one that does recordings here on his busy schedule, but he gets his briefings with Butts on every week.
We're believe it or not, we're kind of over. Which is fine. We don't have anything else to do today. I don't know if you guys have anything else to do. We can keep talking in about another 5 minutes if you want. Go for 45 minutes.
Oh, by all means. Like,
does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. So you talked about, of course, the 23 team, very senior dominated. Last year's team, very senior dominated. This year's team, kind of a youth movement. So does that give you some excitement getting to be able to work with some young players and maybe do some development on players and see them grow? And you're plugging people in places. I know Coach Simmons always used to talk about flight hours. He's got a lot of flight hours. These kids don't. So is there kind of some excitement for you as coaches getting to work with some really young players?
Yeah, I think, young guys, Kenneth Doss, Gabe Kennett, Cam Crawford. I'm gonna leave a lot of guys out. D'Angelo Amy on defense.
Our receiving core is DeLille Durrett, Davion Davis, Avery Mitchell. Yep. These guys, a lot of the scheme.
Reed Turney on the offensive line. We've got a ton of young guys that they're really exciting athletes, but they're phenomenally coachable, right? They take coaching points. They apply them quickly. They really want to be good, and they understand the path to that is be coachable and work hard and all those things. And it's a really, really fun group to work with. They make a lot of plays, a lot of plays. Sometimes it's frustrating because our defense is making plays in practice, and other times we get the better end of it. And it's a lot of fun to watch.
I feel the offensive-defensive rivalry here in the room.
Yeah. I have no side. I think I get labeled as a defensive guy for some reason.
There's a side. We had great practice today. We'll coach the defense one most of the reps.
For years, I prided myself that I would never do that. There was one practice in June where I was like, man, I'm happy. I came in and our offensive staff was not happy. And I did it. That's the one time I hope I don't do it. I was pleased leaving our practice because our defense did ball on it. I got after a little bit. I was talking a little bit. Our offensive staff was having a group therapy when I walked into the office.
Our head coach also controls the whistle. So when our Lance Armstrong jersey gets loose and it's a 60-yard run, the whistle blows at 7.
Our offensive coaches start crying. Cool, put him in a purple jersey. Let's go ahead and tag off on him.
Pump the brakes a little bit on that, but yeah.
So just from you, this is the first time you've been on the show, Coach Campbell. I know that you have extensive experience, even though – what'd you say? What year did you graduate from?
2015, high school grad, yeah.
So you have extensive experience both in college, pro, small school head coach. What's that transition been like?
Shared a story about on the way up here that when he became a head coach of Covington High School at 19 years old, it was 22, the two youngest head coaches in the U.S. history. His administration at Covington pulled him aside about a month after naming him head coach and said, you know, you are the second youngest person to ever be head coach in the U.S. ever. Like, the only person that was younger is John Hart. And John Hart's a
bronze. He's done all right.
It's going to be tough to beat him. Like, he got you by a few months. But he got advice from a mentor in his life. And to those who understand SEC football and understand who Mike Leach was, this is Mike Leach before Mike Leach, but his mentor was Hal Mumme, who was the head coach of Kentucky back in the day, and Tim Couch. And the advice he gave you...
start a radio show.
Yeah,
I understood that, guy. Hey, you might have about five listeners at first to seven, but there's somebody who enjoys the inside look at the program. So he's keeping his mentor happy right now. Like, we'll go ahead and share it to him later.
Oh, yeah.
No, our wives have already texted us. I took a picture and said to our wives, like, oh, we better get a shout out. So they, if they're listening, if they've made it this far.
Yeah. No, it's the experience has been great. You know, I was lucky enough to get to work with Coach Mumme at Jackson State in 2018. Coach junior high ball and a little bit of high school stuff before that. And
with a former Giant assistant.
Yeah, Coach Pat Shanley, 2014 state champ, running back coach. But
and who was the last head coach you worked for?
Bob Stoops was our head coach in Dallas.
I downgraded to Russ Mann, a little different guy.
Yeah, you know, it's potato, potato, right? But no, lots of great people to work around. You know, the benefit for me is I got to see a lot of different ways of doing it, right? Really pro-style offense in college ball, Coach Mumme, which is pure air raid. We're going to throw it 50 times a game. You know, in Dallas, we were a little bit more sophisticated, but still throwing the ball a lot. And then small school, you get to see all the challenges that maybe you don't realize exist, right? Who's going to do the laundry? How are you going to keep your away jerseys white after a muddy game?
Because you do all that, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Me and my wife, Kinsey. Yeah. I mean, I've got pictures of us doing laundry at McConaughey High School at 11:30 on a Saturday night. And, you know, but it's really cool to see. And you learn a lot about how do we find success when maybe you don't have Ferraris everywhere. Right.
Right.
And that's been really good.
Oh, you had two Ferraris at McConaughey.
We did. Yeah. We
two
had
guys two guys that represented the
AJ, Kelly and Fuddy Kyle both played in the IFCA All-Star game this year.
Was number the second and third North All-Star in school history.
Something like that, yeah.
And a lot of passing success with those guys. At, Fuddy finishes the fourth all-time leading receiver behind David Bell. And the first guy,
Dieter
was at Southern Washington, went on to Alabama and played. Yep. He put on video game numbers. And David going on Purdue and playing for the Browns now. And there's Fuddy balling out in McConaughey.
Good players make us look a lot smarter, that's for sure. But yeah, no, it was a great experience, and been really excited to apply that stuff here, for sure.
Well, I think that's always cool. You have so many head coaches on your staff. And speaking of staff, didn't really talk about staff changes. So any new coaches coming in this year?
Yeah, we've got two on the defensive staff that are joining us, Coach Imani Nelson. And those are actually, we're talking to our coordinators today. Coach Sumner immediately pointed to our young guys, like, get these guys out there. We have some young coaches that we brought on. Coach Imani Nelson was a former student of mine. Never got to coach him, but he's a former student of mine. He high energy guy.
Yes.
And if there's a name that needs to be out there as a potential head coach in this area, he is somebody that he's on ball time here with the Giants. So is Coach Carroll. This offseason, he got called by all the three different programs called. I'm like, guys, he just moved and got down here. Would you leave him alone? Like, Monty joined our staff, Coach Logan Smith. He student taught at Lyndhurst two years ago, but he was the pass game coordinator for LC last year. We weren't going to be able to beat that offer. So as a young kid that getting his first year, Mick, he's joining the offensive staff and working with our quarterbacks. And Coach Dom Small, working with our corners. We had to take he was going to maybe go back to where he graduated from. He's from the West Side, but he played at Ritter. He said he was really close with that 2017 team. And Reese Taylor used to tell him all the time that those stats don't count because that's not the real big show. but he went on to Marion, and it might be the only other player that had the unique combo that I had in high school of quarterback and corner. So it's a unicorn. Not too many people that do that.
Like Coach Mann didn't play in an era where they threw the ball in North Carolina.
Yeah, I will tell you right now. Like
leather helmets.
Yeah, corner was his time to take a break. Yeah.
Oh, I took a walk of shame to play quarterback. I wanted to be Christian McCaffrey before Christian McCaffrey. I wanted to play running back, but in seventh grade, I was like, gosh, I think I'll go ahead and play quarterback for us. So if there was somebody else that could have spun it, I could have played receiver.
It was those leather helmets.
Right. Oh, 98, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, close. Kudos to Coach Mann, though. All three of those guys are younger guys. We might have one of the younger staffs in 6A, but they are dogs. They are phenomenal, high-energy guys, really smart.
I was saying, though, when we kind of joke about leather helmets and stuff, I mean, I don't think they were wearing helmets when I was in high school watching high school football. So,
well, these young gentlemen are all have a role in education, too. And I know with the transfer portal open and everybody panicking and people getting scared of recruiting, well, you know, like the big schools, we're fortunate, we're lucky to be at one of the bigger ones where you have to be built different to play here. If you think your role at your school, I'm just going to go there because I think they need that, easy now. The speed, the violence, it's a different level.
Come watch a co-captain's workout and make that decision.
And it was the previous Giants back in the 90s when Ben Davis and Penn just separate from everybody else, and in Indianapolis there began to separate from everybody else. But we as a staff felt like we wanted to attach ourselves to the young kids in education that made the decision to get the degree that goes into the coaching. And not only will they be impactful for our team, but they'll be impactful for inside our school. And they are grooming themselves so that you have some stability, and so it would be nice to have some guys that would be able to stick around for a little bit, build up a there's the guy you should have on the show right there, your 50th birthday, him on is getting ready to groom superintendents across the state of Indiana, you a platform for Indiana high school football, him for superintendents. Indiana's in good shape.
So, well, gentlemen, I've probably taken up too much of your time here.
Hopefully today. We can talk to you to some other episodes later this week. Maybe get some other coaches on here, some players by the end of the week. Put them in front of the microphone, give an inside look. Got to coach them up a little bit because they got to get ready for the Kyle Nunrup interviews afterward. So what better platform than start with radio. Bless your heart. Then you're looking at iPhone after a game. You got to practice. It's not as easy as it looks. And
Coach Lovell. Gall there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you, Coach Campbell, for being with us.
Glad to be here.
As always, Coach Mann, thank you. Normally we'd give a pep talk, but no game this Friday. First game coming up, I did write down the date, the 22nd.
August 22nd, 7 o'clock Giants, at Butler.
The Giants taking on the Cathedral Irish at the Butler Bowl. That's what I call it, but it's called the Selleck Bowl now. At Butler, right down the hill from Hinkle Fieldhouse. Giants have played a lot of great games up at Hinkle Fieldhouse. So
basketball, big ones.
So hopefully football team gets things off and rolling. We'll have this show, whatever the Tuesday is of that week, will be our first season episode of this show. So once again, thank you, gentlemen, for coming in. Preseason episode of Inside Ben Davis Football. We've done it. First time in 34 seasons, I think we've done this. So,
quick shout out, Coach Hardesty. I told you, Coach Campbell, that we get a text message during the show and after saying something about our wives. I told you, there's some OGs that were listening. Coach Hardesty, no shout out. Absolutely.
Save that recording so in November when my wife doesn't know who I am anymore, I can show her.
All right, that's been Inside Ben Davis Football on Indy's Giant 90.9.